Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. I'm the pastor of New Vision for Life Church. It is truly my honor and pleasure to be with you here today. And let's say good morning to our co-host. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, beloved. I'm well. This is Minister Tabika Garnes, the co-host of Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. How are you, beloved?
I am blessed. I am, truly blessed. I thank God for this day. Thank God for life. Period. I just truly thank God. I had a cousin that passed mm-hmm. away 2 days ago, and I just realized just now that I hadn't even told you about it.
Oh wow! But I'm sorry for your loss.
Amen, amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. But thank God that God is good all the time.
And my
cousin knew him as his Lord and Savior. So to God be the glory once again.
Yeah.
Once again. Amen. Well, good morning to Tamika Shelton. Good morning, my love. God bless you, woman of God. And whatever it is you're facing today, face it with the courage of knowing that God is with you, that God has heard your prayers, that he said he would never forsake you nor leave you, and know that he is there with you. Well, the Holy Spirit is there with you, which means God is with you as well, because it is the Spirit of God that he is with you. And if you listen in the spirit realm, just listen with your heart, he will lead you and he will guide you in making the decisions you have to make. So with that being said, Lady Joyce, good morning to you, my love. And be sure, please, to share the message with your daughter. That just came out as I was saying good morning to her. So I believe it was a word from God to encourage her in whatever it is that she is doing today. So good morning to you, Joyce. I love you. God bless you. Good morning to Joyce in New York, Prophetess Kim King. Good morning to you, beloved. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago and in Pennsylvania, my cousin. Good morning. Good morning to you all. Good morning to Prophetess Dorn. Good morning to Michelle Williams. Good morning to Thomas Farr. Good morning to the Crawfords. I believe they are in Tennessee. Yes, good morning, good morning, good morning. And just it's an exciting day. It is an exciting day. So I am grateful. I'm so grateful for being alive. I'm grateful for my co-host. Praise be unto God. You know, as a pastor, there is so much that we do and that we contend with. And God supplies us with help. He supplies us with the needed help, and sometimes the help that we don't even know we need. But I have been so blessed to have Tabika and her husband, Mark, walk with me in this ministry, walk with me as armor bearers. And I cannot explain what they are. They are everything to me in this ministry. And I want to extend the flowers to them while we're both here, you know, for me to say it and for them to receive it. I thank God for them. There have been other people in my life that have touched my life and have really blessed me along the way. And I couldn't have done some of the things that I've done without their help. Lady Joyce, God bless you once again. Hallelujah. You know, to Prophetess Kim, to all of you, just thank you. Just thank you, thank you, thank you. And Tabika, like I said, she's my right hand, my left hand. We think so much alike. You know, I can start a thought, she'll finish it. She'll start a thought, I'll finish it. The same thing with sentences, and it's just an awesome relationship. And I pray to God, that we will never have to experience the severing of a relationship. I thank God, and I just pray that this relationship is one until death do us part, until death do us part. So to the world, I just want to say to you, Tabika, my co-host, my daughter in the Lord, my spiritual friend, and I say spiritual friend because it goes deeper than just the surface form of a friendship. You're in my spirit. You're in my spirit. To my assistant, to everything that you have been to me, just thank you so very, very much. And know that I love you, and I'm not just saying it. It's for real. So God bless you, woman of God.
Amen, amen, and to God be the glory. Thank you, woman of God. I just thank you for that. And everything that you said, I feel the same way about you. It's not one of those relationships where one person feels, you know, it's only given 50% and the other person is given 100%. It's mm-hmm. our relationship is balanced. We love unconditionally. We love unconditionally because if there was conditions attached to this, you know, we may not be friends anymore, you know. So,
That's
so I just thank God for, yes, and I thank God for this connection is a divine connection. It was, he put this together. He put this together. And so I just want to thank God for that. Thank God for thinking of me enough to put me in Apostle's life in the way that he put us. You know, in her life, I just thank God for that. And I see God's working. I see his hand. I'm starting to see his purpose in it. Yes, but to God be the glory for all that he has done. And I just thank God that he, again, placed me in her life because she is a genuine woman of God. Her life, her character, her everything shows that she truly loves God. And it's not just you know, it's not just a made up thing. It's not just for recognition. It's she truly is a woman after God's heart. And so I just bless her, her family, and I just thank God for everything that he has done concerning our relationship. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right, saints, we're going to go ahead and open in prayer. And I will do the praying this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. Father, we praise you. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name. God, I thank you because there is none like you. There is no one who cares for us the way that you do. And, Father, we could search for all eternity long and never, ever find anyone that is like you. So we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, O Lord God, that when we found ourselves unlovable, Lord God, that you loved us in spite of it. Father, even when there are those that love themselves beyond compare, Father God, thinking that they are the main thing, they are it, they are the one, Lord God, that they have no room in their hearts to love anybody else. Father, even them that you love. Lord, you love the murderer, Lord God. You love the molester. You love the drug addict. You love the prostitute. You love the liar, the adulterer, Lord God. You love the pedophile, oh God. You love the white-collar executive, oh God. You love, oh Lord God, the president of this country, Father God. Lord, you love, Lord God, the homeless ones, the ones in the nursing homes, children that's been left alone, the adopted or in shelters the homes that children are left in, Lord God. Father, you love, Lord God, the children in third world countries and the parents, oh God, those that are sick, Lord God. You love the doctors and the lawyers, oh God, in every profession that we could name. Father, you loved every last one of us, oh Lord God. And your word says that you wish that none would perish. You made a way for each and every one of us. You made a way, and that way is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, you made a way for us all. And oh, that we would all come to the place where we would accept the sacrifice that was made on Calvary, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you loved us so much that in the pit of all of the hell that we were bound to, that we were chained to, that we were in bondage to, that we had soul ties to, Lord God, generational curses, oh Father God, ancestral covenants, Lord God, that were made. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you saw fit that we heard the word and we had a choice. We had the opportunity to accept what was done for us on Calvary or, Lord God, to refuse it. And I thank you, Lord God, for you making that choice, Lord God. Not the choice of whether we would receive it or refuse it, but making the choice to come in flesh, oh Lord God, so that we could be set free. Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Everything in me cries out, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for saving me. Everything in me, Lord God, cries out for those that are on this line, Lord, that a spirit of hope would spread through this line, oh God, that every need that we have, Lord God, that it is met. Touch us in our bank accounts. Touch us, Lord God, in our relationships. Touch us in our bodies, oh God. Oh God, do it, do it, do it, Lord God, for your glory, oh Lord God. Father, hear our prayer this morning, oh God. See and feel our pain this morning, oh Lord God. Father, come, Holy Spirit, and act on the things that we have come to you with today, Lord God. Father, we bear your name. We bear your name, Lord God. We bear your name, and we come in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Lord and Savior. Great is he, and greatly to be praised. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for increase, oh God, for the number of callers that we have on, Lord, even today. I thank you for increase for the number of listeners that are listening worldwide. I thank you for deliverance, oh God. I thank you for reconciliation, restoration, and salvation, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, that you shall be glorified in everything that we say or do. And Father, if there's anything that we have done, anything at all, whether it was in word, thought, or deed, and even the sin of omission, anything that we have done that displeased you, Heavenly Father, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us our trespasses. And Father, as you are forgiving us, oh God, Lord, we forgive those that have trespassed against us. We thank you, Lord God, for meeting our daily need. We thank you, Lord God, that you love us enough, that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Nissi, the banner over us, which is love. Father, we praise you, oh God. We honor you. We thank you for our freedom and our liberty in you. And he that the Son has set free is truly free indeed. So we go forth on this show today, O God, and let what we say, Lord God, let it be glory unto your name. So may the meditation of our, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen, and amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
thank you. Glory, glory, glory to God.
Yes,
thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Father.
Jesus.
Thank you,
praise
Father.
Be unto God. Praise be unto God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God. Well, today, hallelujah, we are going to be led in our conversation today by Minister Tabika. Praise God, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited because God really touched my heart, you know, during this time. You'll see. He really touched my heart, and I again thank Minister Tabika who is led by the Spirit of God and what is done and on. She's just led by the Spirit of God, folks. Let me shut up and let the woman of God get to it. All right, beloved, go ahead, honey, because I'll talk about you all day today. You and Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. Before you start, just let me tell them this real quick. Y'all, look, someone gave me a quick cooker for my birthday. And so it is a steamer, a crock pot, a pressure cooker, a sauteer, a rice cooker. It does all of these things. I sat for 4 hours the other day reading the instructions, trying to get this thing to work, and I couldn't get it to work to save my life. So I called up my pastor friend, Pastor Charles. I called her, and I'm telling her how I can't get this thing to work. And I said, Pastor, I read this thing, and I know I'm intelligent. I know it. I know I know how to read. I know I know how to follow instructions. But there's nothing in this booklet about the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, deliverance, salvation. And I said, and if it doesn't have all of that in it, I don't know what to do with it. They did not make a Holy Ghost. What is a pressure cooker just for you? I said, well, they should, because this makes no sense to me. So, y'all, so I'm stuck on Jesus. I'm stuck. Go ahead.
That's
darling.
A good
Go
place
ahead.
To be.
Amen.
Yes, that is
amen.
A good place to be.
Amen.
All right. Well, this morning we're going to be discussing. The title of our message today is When Celebrities Accept Christ as Their Lord and Savior. And if you have been on social media, if you've been, you know, on listening to the radio or even watching the news or whatever may have you, you know of one particular individual that has been in the news, but this time on a good note. And, his name is Kanye West, and we pulled up some articles in reference to, you know, what's been going on in his life. And now, listen, he's not the only celebrity that probably has, you know, turned to Christ, but as far as I know, he is the most influential. Okay. Well, he's the most influential at this moment about Christ and actually opening up his mouth and saying, you know, what Christ has done for him. Now, some people may have come and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they're not publicly telling, you know, what it is, how their life has been changed since they said yes. And so, you know, we know that Kanye has had a dark background, and maybe some of you don't know why or, you know, what he's gone through, but he has been sharing, you know, with the world about what he's been through and how God is changing his life. So again, I said we pulled up some articles, so we're going to be reading from some of these articles to share with you all about, you know, what's going on in his life. And one of the articles are is titled Kanye West, It's My Job to Let People Know What Jesus Has Done for Me. And this is through CBN News. And it's, you know, he's just opening up about his faith journey and the radical life change and transformation he has had over the last year. And he has had interviews with Apple Music Beats, and somebody visited his home in Wyoming, and they began to ask Kanye, you know, where he sees his ranch in 20 years, to which Kanye immediately started talking about his faith in God's sovereignty. And he says that he's had some visions, but the more that he is in service to God, he just clears his head and wakes up more empty every day and lets God do the driving and just use him as he may. He said that you make plans and God laughs. So, you know, now he's saying that he's in service to Christ. His job is to spread the gospel, to let people know what Jesus has done for me, Kanye explained, later adding that everything that he does now is for the church. Everything I do, even designing a shoe, is for the church. It's my own mission and calling to spread the gospel. It says that it has been evident that he's changed over the past year. The biggest moment of his life took place in April when he asked Jesus to come to become his Lord and Savior. He said, this is such a win for the kingdom. For Kanye to come back home from going from Jesus walk to I love it, to say to God, I tried it my way. It's not working out. Everything is in shambles. I'm ending up in debt, making this money, but still ending up in debt. My public standing is in shambles. He's not in good shape. He said, I'm not in good shape. I'm having ups and downs with my health, people calling me crazy, people not wanting to sit with me. I had to just give it up to God. Kanye shared that he finally feels at peace in his life, crediting God for that indescribable feeling. Yes, I'm at peace, Kanye shared. I give it all up to God. And this is what, this is where some people, you know, because to be honest, when I first, when he first started doing those Sunday services, I was like, what is this? And I wouldn't watch it for a while. And that was a judgment against him, not even knowing what it was actually about. But because of his history, you know, sometimes we have the tendency to base things off of somebody's history instead of paying attention to what's going on in the now. And so one day I was on YouTube and I saw where he was at Pastor Jamal Bryant's church. And I said, let me just turn this on and see what, you know, what this is about. So I turned it on, and it was, you know, Kanye West and his choir, I guess that's what they're called, at Pastor Bryant's church. And just the worship, the songs, it made me change my mind about what I thought it was. Because at first I thought, like, did he become a pastor? But it's not that he's a pastor. He has a pastor that travels with him. And that's ministering to him and helping him along this walk in his faith. But the thing about it is, this is evangelism. This is the way God wants to use him to reach the masses, to reach the world. And although in the beginning it was called Sunday service, and I'm thinking, Sunday service? And when you think about his secular music and all the stuff that's in it, you're like, you're thinking to yourself, like, how? And that's where I was, you know, like, how is this a Sunday service? Like, what is he actually singing about? Because in my mind, I'm like, he's secular, it's cursing, it's all this other stuff in his music. So what is, you know, not even taking the time to just go look and see what they were actually about, but passing judgment, before we, you know, even knowing what it's about. And we have the tendency to do that. And it's not, it's just something that happens because you don't understand. And instead of trying to understand or get the information or whatever it is that can help you understand, sometimes we just stay in a place of, well, you know, it that just don't look right, or that just doesn't sound right. So then when, you know, paying more attention to him, hearing what's going on in his life, the things that he's starting to say, you know, about Christ, and he's not shy about it either. Like, you have some people that are embarrassed, but, you know, he's no way embarrassed about sharing Christ with other people. Another part of the article says that sometimes we'll sit around and start to get mad about something, or he says, I'm about to get mad about something, or I'll scream. And he said, I had a rude spirit that I need to work on. I am just prepped to be a Christian. You take everything about my personality and you say, you're just prepped to be a Christian. The thing I pray for to be more Christ-like is the grace. And then then as God strengthens my hand, is to have more grace. He talks about his past porn addiction. He talks about how, as he was making this Jesus is King album, that he asked his production crew not to have premarital sex while producing the album. Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. Who really does this? And he talked about how he got addicted to pornography, because he said at the age of 5, his father left a Playboy magazine sitting out, and he looked at, you know, the magazine, and it opened up a gateway into full-blown pornography. And he said from age 5 to now, he had to kick the habit. And, you know, it's like, okay, you know, he's saying to himself, it's like, okay. And now he stands up and say, you know, it's not okay. And so he talked about, you know, those moments, those past moments where back in 2009 when he was at the MTV Awards and he got up on the stage with that Hennessy bottle in his hand, and he referenced Taylor Swift, that Taylor Swift incident. You know, he talked about all that. He talked about how lost he was, and that's why all those things were going on. He said he just lost his mother a year before that. He said, some people drown themselves in drugs, and I drown myself in my addiction, which is sex. That's what said the ego, money, clothes, cars, accolades, social media, paparazzi photos, going to Paris Fashion Week, all of that, he explained, was his addiction. He's saying, with God, I've been able to beat things that had full control of me. So we see God working in his life. It's not for us to judge whether this conversion is genuine, but it's for us as Christians to pray for him, because he's our brother. He accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, so he's our brother now. So it doesn't matter, you know, it's going to be people out there that's going to try to watch to see, you know, what he's doing, if he's truthful about what he's saying. They're going to judge everything that he says. Let's just say the enemy is mad. the enemy is mad because he was one of his, and he decided, you know, Kanye West made the decision to not want to be one of the devil's cohorts or whatever. He decided he didn't want to be that anymore. He didn't want to live for the devil anymore. And you know, just as Apostle said, like, this, it touched my heart, because he's said that about his mental health issues. He said that he's been diagnosed as being bipolar. And just look at this. He has mental health issues. There are a lot of people that have mental health issues. And he's showing these people that even though you have this mental health issue, God can still work out on your behalf. You can be healed from this. So don't let that stigma of that label, you know, drown you. Because God is the one doing the work. And so even though he has this past, we all have a past, but God can use all of that to reach different people. And God will use whomever he wants to reach who he wants to reach. And he's using Kanye West to reach who he needs to reach. We see people coming to Christ. We see people being saved. And it's not 2, 3, 10 people. It's thousands of people coming to Christ. You know, that is a big thing. And I know that God is pleased. Amen. Go ahead, Apostle.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, such revelation came to me as I was reading revelation and conviction, as I was reading the different articles. And one thing, and listen, hallelujah, listen, how many of us, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, some of us speaking in tongues, how many of us have gone before God in our prayer closet and we prayed for the Kanye West of the world. We prayed for all of these famous people that got thousands and thousands of people following them. I remember when I was on a kick of praying for Janet Jackson, you know, personally, not just, you know, the artists in the world, but for somebody personally. What about those, you know, any of your the football stars, this anyone that had great influence over people, and we saw the influence that they have over people. We see the influence that Beyonce and Jay-Z have over people. And how many of us said, if you only took that energy, if you only felt that way about God and all the people that are following you now could follow you to Christ, if you only did that. I don't know about anyone else, but I remember that being my prayer. And then here comes Kanye West, you know, one of the greatest artists, always, you know, when he does his music, you know, always up on the Billboard charts, you know, at the top positions and so forth and so on. And then here he comes along. He gives his life to Christ. He's got thousands and thousands of people following him. And me, along with God knows who else, was saying, okay, is this really real? Is this really real? I forgot about how much we prayed about it, how much we prayed for it, forgot about that. And then got to the place where, is he the Antichrist, you know, and so forth. And I'm telling you, I know, because I know I'm no different than a whole lot of folks. I know I'm not the only saint that thought that. I'm not the only saint that questioned that. And I even got to the point where I said, well, if he is the Antichrist, the people that are giving their hearts to God, the people that are really coming to the altar, you know, they don't go to an altar because the crowd is too big, but those that raise their hand and said the sinner's prayer and said they want to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they were genuine. So even if he wasn't genuine, they were genuine. I'm telling you, I played with that thing, y'all, and I got convicted. Who are we to sit in the judgment seat of his salvation? That's God's job. That's, we are to pray that no man is lost. So that's the Kanye West, the Beyonce's, the Jay-Z, and I'm going to stop there, y'all, because, see, I don't even know the worldly artists. If you say it, maybe I'll know it, but I don't know them to say it. But the point is that we are praying for them to get saved, and they get saved, and then we question their salvation. No matter what, God knows exactly what he is doing, exactly what he is doing. And I can tell you that, well, before I go ahead and tell you what I'm about to tell you, a caller wants to say something, and I love it when a caller wants to speak. So let me let the caller speak, and we'll go on with this. Go ahead. I'll say prophet. Go ahead, beloved. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Apostle. It is Prophet Crawford.
Amen. Amen. Good morning.
One of the things, when I first saw, and I haven't even seen all the articles, but when I first saw an article about it and about how bold he was, what came to my mind was the fact that he's not ashamed of the gospel. And
hallelujah.
There are believers and pastors and Christians that are out there that have been saved for years that you hardly ever hear them say anything about the fact that they're saved. And if you listen to them outside of the four walls of a church building or a church structure, you'd have to really question, is this person genuinely saved? Does this person truly have a relationship with the Lord? And the fact that Kanye West is being so bold about it and so open about it, my whole thing was he's not ashamed of it. And how many others that could have been and should have been doing what he's currently doing aren't doing it. Not to mention the fact I believe that he's reaching people that have been hurt by the church and may never set foot back inside the four walls of a church, or may have never set back set their feet back inside the four walls of a church. And the fact that he is doing what he's doing, he's reaching a group of people and he's helping to spread the gospel so that Jesus can come back. We are truly living in the last days, but for us to really understand that, we've heard that for years, years and years, that you know, we're coming to the end. These are the last days. And yet another year goes by, and then another year goes by, and people start wondering, is it really the last days? And yes, we are. But when we say that, we don't mean the last days is in just, you know, two or three days from now, maybe it. But at the same time, we don't know when our final day is coming. Only God knows that. We have no idea when we will take our last breath, but if we're going to be ashamed of the fact that we are a Christian and ashamed of the fact that we have asked Jesus Christ into our life, get ready for God to be ashamed of us when you stand before Him. And that's what the articles that I saw and even what I'm hearing you and Minister Tamika talk about, that's what makes me so happy about what Kanye is doing, is the fact that even though there are a lot of people that have questioned it, and there's a lot of people that are just waiting for him to fall and waiting for him to make that mistake and to fail, and he's going to. He's a man. Yes. Every man makes a mistake. He's not God. Yes. And that's part of the problem. People look at him because of how bold he's being, because of how open he's being, and they start judging him, as you said, and it's not our place to judge him. You said it. It's our place to pray for him. It's our place to undergird him and let God do what God wants to do through him and to him.
Yes. Yes, and that's the thing, too. Thank you so much, Prophet Crawford. And that's the thing, too, thanks to God. Listen. That is so much the thing of, understand, he's a brand new Christian. He is a baby in Christ. None of us, when we got saved, none of us became, we didn't come into Christianity, and the level that we're on right now after serving God for years, we didn't get there the first day we accepted Christ as our Savior. So, yes, our brother is going to make mistakes, and we are to gird him up and keep him covered in the name of Jesus. And I just wanted to say this because I felt that this at one point with my grandson, that this was deceit from the enemy. My grandson is a singer. He is an artist. And the boy was raised in the church, Okay, this child went to Christian school. He had to memorize scripture. I never had to memorize scripture. He had to memorize scripture. He knew more Bible than me. And then when this boy got to his teenage years and started hanging around with the kids in the neighborhood and so forth and so on, and he began to sing, my son began to sing songs that he said, Grandma, you can't listen to this. So he was singing songs that he was using vulgarity in. He was talking about, you know, getting high and all of this stuff. And I'm like, why, Daniel? Why are you doing this? And he would say to me, Grandma, I got to live this life. I've got to sing about this life. I've got to get this large following so when I tell them about Christ, they will know that I understand what they've been through. And I'm like, come on, Daniel, you don't have to go through all of that. There are people I talk to, people I minister to, and I haven't done half the things that they did, but God gives me the grace to be able to minister to them. You don't have to do that. That's a trick of the enemy. But that's exactly what Kanye has done. He has these millions of people that are following him, and when he turned to Christ, those millions of people are saying, oh, my God, I need to listen to this because our boy did it. He did it. He changed his life. Look at what God's doing in him. Kanye said in one of his articles that from now on, no more secular music. He has given up secular music. He only wants to write Christian music. Okay, and it's all probably going to be, of course, contemporary Christian music. But that's what he is going to do right now. I saw him on a show where he and his group were on the plane with James Corbin, I think his name is, and them singing and so forth. And I'm telling you what God did and so forth and the mental disorders. When I see my grandson in this young man, I see him now in this, and I've got to call my son today and tell him, I apologize. I apologize because God has allowed many people to walk in the place that Kanye has walked in, and he will touch the lives of millions of people that we will not touch. I have another caller. God bless you, woman of God, 1816. How are you, precious heart?
Good morning. How are you?
I am blessed, honey. I am blessed. Thank you for asking.
Amen. Good. I'm glad you're having this conversation because it needs to be discussed. And just as you were just saying, which is what I actually wanted to say as well, he is going to reach people that the church will not reach outside mm-hmm. the four walls because of what he's been through, because of his influence in the secular world. God is raising up unconventional people to use unconventional mm-hmm. ways to bring people to Christ. So for the church, those of us who are not ready, who are in the box, and I guess because I happen to be a little out the box anyway, but, mm-hmm. you know, I say if God could use a donkey, he could certainly use Kanye West. So,
amen.
You know, God is also going to use people outside of the church who are coming in to even be a witness to those in the church of how we need to get outside the four walls and stop being
yes.
judgmental and
yes.
stop looking down, because God wants to reach every soul. He wants the ones with the tattoos. He wants the ones who are in some
yes.
homosexuality. He wants the ones who are satanic worshipers. God doesn't want any to perish, but we get so judgmental and self-righteous that we think, oh, he can't be, you know, he used to do this, he used to do that. And like your minister, Tamika, said, we all have a past. We've all done things.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not openly sharing what we have done. This man has had a conversion, and, yes, he is a work in progress, as we all are. Yes, he's still
mm-hmm.
working out his soul salvation with fear and trembling, as we all are. So the bottom line is we don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in. If he is bringing souls to Christ, then praise the Lord. And we got to get out of our – we need to renew our minds in the body of Christ so that we
Amen.
Don't become like the Pharisees and Sadducees and do things in the name of the Lord. And he say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because we have to
uh-huh.
all be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God doesn't have limits.
Mm.
Mm-mm. He is
God
limitless.
Do
so that's my little 2 cents for the morning.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We appreciate that. And with that being Amen. Said, beloved, you are listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And if you would like to join in, you've got something to say, we just encourage you, please, to press 1 on your keypad and join in the conversation. woman of God, Minister Tabika, I turn it back over into your hands, beloved. What do you say about what has just been said?
Amen. I agree with everything that has been said because, you know, we are, as our prophetess Kim said, we are still a work, you know, in progress. And we do, even now in our you know, mature walk, sometimes we still make mistakes. So, you know, we're just going to see, watch how God plays all of this out in his life. And I just, I praise the Lord because he decided, you know, now he decided to accept the Lord as, you know, Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But I just praise God because he opened his mouth and is sharing him with others. He's not just keeping it to himself. He's not just in his house praising the Lord with just his family. He is out there. He's still just like when he did secular music, he went on tours and stuff like that, and he did his music. He's still doing the same thing. He's still going on tours, but now it's for Christ and not for himself. And so one of the articles talked about how his wife said, you know, that he's a great example for their kids, and how his Christian faith is influencing their family. And so, you know, because sometimes we don't really hear about how people are really affecting their own families. And so, you know, he's decided to do some things within his own family. Like, I think this is his oldest daughter. Her name is North. They don't want her wearing makeup anymore. Now, I'm not sure how old she is, but she's not old enough to wear makeup. Let me
hit you here for a second, honey. The first time they showed her on TV in makeup, she was like maybe 3 years old or something. 3 or 4 years old, and she was made up like a model, okay? And they allowed her to wear makeup, all right? That's why they made such a big deal about, he's saying, nope, the makeup got to come out of the room. I don't know. I'll Google real quick and see how old she is now. But she was a little girl when they started allowing her to wear makeup because she saw her mother wearing makeup, saw her mother on the TV sets and everything, and they put makeup on that child. So go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
you're fine.
Go ahead, honey.
You're fine.
My God.
They got rid of the TVs in the kids' rooms. His wife also said that it says Kim also confirmed that Kanye had become increasingly concerned with the revealing nature of some of her outfits. Her response is, I actually agree with it, but I'm always going to be me, she said. I love that beautiful journey as well, and I think that's such a great example for our kids. But, you know, there's always that fine line of staying firm and doing what you feel comfortable with. And then she said, Kim also said that while she wants to be herself, she also wants to respect her husband's feelings as well. He is my husband, so I obviously want to honor him and what he's feeling, and he's been going through this life change, she added. And so, you know, she's still respecting, you know, what it is that his feelings. She's still respecting his feelings. And she said, at the end of the day, a big part of a successful marriage is about learning to compromise. I think at the end of the day, that's what marriage is, she said. He's going to do things that I don't agree with, and I support him, and vice versa. So even and, you know, in his family, he's an influence in his family, and he's playing a part in even changing their lives and them coming, you know, accepting Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And these are the things that Apostle just shared, how she was praying for Janet Jackson at one moment, you know, praying with Beyonce and Jay-Z, praying that they turn, you know, give their lives to Christ. So that influence that they have over people now can become an influence for Christ. And I just pray that Kanye's conversion touches the heart of those that are in that entertainment realm, that entertainment arena. And there will be some that will still pass judgment against him, will call him all type of things because, you know, they may have been in his close circle and know some of the things that he did and said. And so, oh, wait, just like, okay, let me go back a few. When he went to the White House and he put on the ad, Make America Great Again, and he's supporting Trump, and, you know, he's supporting the Republicans, and he said how much he liked Trump. He lost a lot of friends, and he lost a lot of black people back then when he said that, because he – some of the things that and I'm not going to get into the politics, but some of the things that Democrats believe in and Republicans believe in is totally different. Like, and I'm starting to see certain things, too, when it comes to politics, like, you know, what Republicans believe in and accept versus what Democrats. So sometimes, so Democrats, and sometimes they believe in things like abortion and same-sex marriages and stuff like that, where Republicans don't. And so it's not about Republicans as white people and Democrats as black people. That's what we have basically been brainwashed to believe. And one thing about me is, like, I don't really tell people this, but at one point, I think when Obama was first elected, I think the first time I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote at all. And then I think the second time I voted for him just because he was black. Part of me didn't even believe in none of the stuff that he was agreeing with, but I voted for him just because he was black. And now it's like I'm starting to see differences in understanding the different, you know, Republicans versus Democrats and all that. And so sometimes we got to go beyond race, black and white and stuff like that. You got to look at the issues. And sometimes the issues, when it comes to certain things, Republicans don't accept. They don't know. They're like against it. But, you know, that's another story for another time. But it's just, he's just open. He's not afraid to say, you know, what it is. He's not worried about people not liking him. And I think sometimes that's why we stay in this closed place, because we're so worried about people not liking us anymore. And a lot of people didn't like Jesus, but he still did God's work. You know, he didn't just say, I'm not going to do God's work because these people might not like me anymore. He wasn't concerned with whether the people wasn't going to like him or agreed on everything that he said. He know he was doing his father's work. And that's where Kanye is right now. He's about his father's business. And he could care less about who thinks he's crazy, who's not going to like him anymore. He's not worried about any of that. And when we come to that place where we stop worrying about what people think about us or pleasing people, we could be a force to be reckoned with for the Lord. We could be. So, Apostle, do you have anything?
Yes, beloved. Thank you. So let me throw in here that Northwest is 6 years old. Now, can you imagine having to say, can you imagine saying that I'm going to take the makeup out of my child's room and not allow her to use it anymore? She's 6 years old, okay? She should still be playing with dolls. She might still be doing it. Who knows? You know, but playing with dolls and maybe play in her mother's makeup. But, no, to have her own makeup and it being applied to her every day and so forth, no. 6 years old, and excuse me. So, you know, I thank God for the influence that he has on his family, and so he's not being two-sided from what we are reading. He is not being two-sided. I thank God for the lives that are being touched and saved, you know, because of the ministry that is going forth. I thank God for it. I just truly thank God for what's happening. I love the out of the box. You know, I'm out of the box. I love seeing things out of the box and so forth. Listen, saying something just dropped in my spirit. A lot of pastors, even pastors of mega churches, a lot of them are jealous of the number of people that this man is bringing to the Lord in such a short period of time, and he's only been saved for a short period of time. And there's those of us who have slaved in the kingdom, sacrificed, sowed our money, you know, our lives into the kingdom of God, and can't touch the number of people that are getting saved under this ministry. And I can assure you, there are people saying, who in the world does he think he is? Who does he think mm-hmm. he is? I've been doing this for so many years. And listen when I say this. And I only have 30,000 members. But how is it that he can get saved yesterday, write a song about Jesus today, go out and sing it in concert tomorrow, and on tomorrow, you know, thousands and thousands of people are getting saved, you know. And, you know, for every one person that comes to the altar and gives their life to Christ, for every one person that comes, that one person is going to touch the lives of many. So if he got brought, if 2,000 people surrendered themselves to Christ on that one particular day, if 2,000 people did that, and I can't do the multiplications, I'm not that quick, but if he did that, well, let me make it real easy. If 2,000 people came to Christ that day, and those 2,000 people, each one, were able to minister to 100 people, you got 200,000 people that came to Christ through what those 2,000 did. 200,000 are there. And if those 200,000 do 100 people, then that 200,000 turns into the 2 million or whatever the case may be. And that goes on and on and on. So God, this is a sign that we're coming to the near the end of time even more so, because time has to be expedited. We don't have time for people, okay, like me that's been in this as a pastor for 17 years and still working hard and pray I'm going to go on until God comes back or until he takes me home. But I can't reach the thousands, or I haven't. I'm not going to say I can't, because I can do it if God makes a way. But he is able to reach thousands, millions of people that I will not be able to reach, that I have not reached, and they will get saved. And I believe this is a quick salvation in the land, because Jesus is soon to come, and he doesn't have time for another pastor like me to come along and spend another 17 years in this, you know, and have 100 people and so forth, when he can take someone like Kanye and thousands, which will turn into millions of people that will get saved in 1 year under this ministry. To God be the glory. Saints of God, I hope you join with me and Minister Tabika and to Prophet Crawford and Prophet Kim, and thanking God for what he has done, for the people that he is using. He can use anybody, and let us keep them girded up. And listen, because so many people are being snatched out of the kingdom of darkness, you better believe everything that that man was tied to is going to come and try to sway him back to the dark side. We've got to pray his angels. We've got to pray the Holy Spirit to keep him, because he is a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Saints of God, you Joyce, you Crawford, you King, you Michelle, you Joyce in New York, you Isaiah, you my cousin Isaiah, you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. And that is why you'll be attacked from every side, but greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. So go forth in the name of Jesus, stand tall, don't ever be ashamed of where you come from, and definitely not for where you're going, and tell everybody the good news. Jesus Christ saves. Beloved, this is Apostle Etta Banks along with Minister Tabika Garnes here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.